Thank you, Father, that you will bring us all back home. Father, that you know the end from the beginning, that you already made a way, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May we be prepared for the days ahead. May we have wisdom. But may we lift up our eyes from whence our help comes. Thank you for your Sabbath, for your time of rest. Thank you for your commands, your right rulings, your mitzvahs to walk through this life. May we choose life, may we choose your way, may we truly pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We are in Exodus 39, as we are finishing up Exodus this week and next week. As we've entered into a new month with the new moon, quickly approaching the fall festivals and approaching a season in the United States as we're trying to see, are we going back to school? Are we going back to sports? And are we going to have an election? And there's crying and moanings on all fronts of those. But again, we need to be prepared for the days ahead because I believe there's a lot of shenanigans going on around the election and that those will increase. Because I believe we are at a pivotal point in our country, in our nation, in our world. If we see events lining up, see the signs that have been in the heavenlies, we were talking earlier this morning of the two hurricanes in the Gulf, and just if you look back last week at just the magnitude 4 and above earthquakes that hit around the world and the enormous amounts that have been going on. The asteroid that flew near the Earth, largest, nearest asteroid on recorded history. That is literally unprecedented days that we live in. And may we have wisdom for those days ahead. We looked last week and we got through with the furnishings of the temple. And again, how the detail had been given. How Yah had given specific instructions on size, shape, how to make, how to overlay. And again, how he put the spirit in the artisans, but yet as it went through it all again, that they obeyed. We mentioned how we are the temple today, and how specific instructions have been given to us, how to live, walk, how to carry ourselves, to be set apart, to come out of her, my people, to be cleansed. And we begin to look today at the dressings or the furnishings of the priest. That's where we pick up in Genesis 39:1. Excuse me, Exodus 39:1. And the blue and the purple and the scarlet material, they made woven garments to do service in the set-apart place, and they made the set-apart garments which were for Aaron. As Yah had commanded Moshe, he made the shoulder garments of gold, of purple and blue, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen. They beat out sheets of gold and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue and purple and scarlet material and the fine linen and the work of a skilled workman. You know, several years back, I hurt my knee, and at the time, copper-infused braces were all the rage. And there is some, I believe, evidence of help. I know when I wore it, it helped my pain. Just the precious metals and the magnetism and the things of how our body works is amazing. Yeah, I knew those things from way back. And here even gold was woven through the high priest's garments. Things that we think we are discovering today, but yet that have been in Torah all along. The essential oils that were used in the incense and that were 24/7 being put into the holy place in the Holy of Holies. The spices that were put on the showbread. And the very garments that the priest wore. Is it any wonder why many of the high priests lived for so long? They made shoulder pieces, verse 4, for it to join it. It was joined at its two edges, and the embroidered band of his shoulder garment that was on it was of the same work of gold and blue and purple and scarlet material, and the fine woven linen as Yah had commanded Moshe. And they made the Shushim stones set in plated work of gold, engraved as signets are engraved according to the names of the sons of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the shoulder garment, stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, as Yah had commanded Moshe. He made the breastplate, a work of skilled workmen, like the work of the shoulder garment, of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and of fine woven linen. It was square. They made the breastplate double, its length a span, its width a span, doubled. And they filled it with four rows of stone, a row of ruby, a topaz, and an emerald was the first row. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, a shusham, and a jasper, set in plated works of gold in their settings. The stones were according to the names of the sons of Israel. 12 according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. If you look in Revelation, it also talks about the stones, the foundations. I believe it's the same set of stones. Some of the names differ slightly because many of the stones in the Old Testament were not uniquely named. It could have been a red stone. It could have been a green stone. Some of those could be more than one stones, and so sometimes the translations take their best guess or from tradition. And so most of the translations, many of the stones are exactly the same. A few of the stones are different. I personally believe that they were all the same 12 stones, and that we see again, because Yah said over and over he was making a pattern here on earth of things that already existed in the heavenlies. And when we see the new Jerusalem come down, we go in by the gates of the children of Israel. Paul told us, unless we're grafted into Israel, will have no place in the kingdom. So that over and over and over, Yah is showing that it's from covenant, that it is from his work, that it is his way. And that's not just because he's God and do it because I say so. It's because he's love and he wants the best for us. And the best is to be without sin. The wages of sin is death, destruction, disease, despair. Why would I wish that for any of my children? But the way of life brings blessings, brings life and life abundantly. Verse 15, they made braided chains of corded work for the breastplates at the ends of clean gold. They made two settings of gold and two gold rings. They put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. They put the two cords of gold and the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two cords they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the shoulder garment in the front. They made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the shoulder garment. And they made two rings and put them on the two shoulder pieces underneath the shoulder garment on the front of it, close to its seam above the embroidered band of the shoulder garment. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the shoulder garment with a blue cord, so that it would be above the embroidered band of the shoulder garment, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the shoulder garment, as Yah had commanded Moshe. He made the robe of the shoulder garment of woven work, all of blue. And the opening of the robe was in the middle, like the opening in a sealed armor, in a scaled armor, with a woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material twined. And they made bells of clean gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe for the service as Yah had commanded Moshe. So again, we see how the high priest bore the pomegranate and the bell. We see how the temple was decorated with cherubim all along the woven curtains. We see how the lampstand was decorated with almond blossoms, with flowers. Be careful when there are some teachings that say you shouldn't have any images. Nothing of heaven above or of heaven below. Because it seems like the Father had images of things in heaven above and of things on the earth below. But the rest of that commandment is not to have any graven images and bow down to it. It was all for the purpose of not having idols, of not having other gods, of not trusting in those things, not of never having a representation of anything on earth. Again, he commanded them to make the brazen serpent and lift it up. The temple, when Solomon built it, we see that it was full of depictions of nature. Many of the cups were ornate, of the plates were ornate, of the clothing. But any of those things, if they become a distraction, if they become an idol, if they become the center of our attention, then yes, they are out of place. But we can't add to or take away from Yah's word. We can't take man's tradition and say this is what God is saying if Scripture does not back that up. Verse 27, they made the long skirt of shirt of fine linen, the work of a weaver for Aaron and his sons, and a turban of fine linen, and the turban ornaments of fine linen, and short trousers of fine woven linen, and a girdle of fine woven linen with blue and purple and scarlet material, the work of an embroiderer, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And they made the plate of the set-apart sign of dedication of clean gold and wrote on its an inscription like the engraving of a signet. Set apartness to Yah. They put on it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban, as Yah had commanded Moshe. And all the work of the dwelling place of the tent of appointment was completed, and all the children of Israel did according to all that Yah had commanded Moshe. So they did. To me, that is the key. The key for us in the days ahead. Are we going to do all that is commanded us? Are we going to pay attention to the detail? Are we going to say, well, it's close enough. It's good enough. You know, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, y'all even tithe down to the mint, the cumin, the spices. But then he said, and you should, as you ought to. He said, but you disregard the weightier things of the law. It's not that we shouldn't pay attention to the detail, but we learn, we grow. Every year we should be paying more and more attention to the detail because we should be learning more and more. We should be getting better at it. Anything you do over and over and over, you should improve at it so that you're able to do better and better and better. We should be able to understand line upon line, precept upon precept. We should be able to begin to do more, learn more. It doesn't mean we don't give grace to those who are still learning. We realize people are at a different place on the journey with each other. People are at different places in their capabilities. But we should be all striving to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should never accept less than what he's promised us, what he's told us to pray for. Either he told us to pray for something that was not possible, or we've just been accepting way less than what is possible. First Kings 7. And sovereign Shlomo, or Solomon, sent and brought Hiram from Soar. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Soar, a bronze worker, and he was filled with wisdom, understanding, and skill, and working with all kind of bronze work. So he came to sovereign Shlomo and did all his work. He cast two columns of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. He made two capitals of cast bronze to put on top of the two columns. The height of one capital was 5 cubits. The height of the other capital was 5 cubits. a lattice network with wreaths of chain work for the capitals, which were on the top of the column, 7 chains for one capital and 7 for the other. He made the columns in 2 rows of pomegranates above the network, all around to cover the capital that were on top, and he did for the other capital. The capitals that were on top of the column and hall were in the slope of the shape of the lilies, 4 cubits. And there were capitals above also on the 2 columns by the bulge, which was next to the network, and the pomegranates were 200 in rows on each of the capitals all around. And he set up the columns by the porch of the Hekal, and he set up the column on the right, called his name Yachin, and he set up the column on the left and called his name Boaz. And on the top of the columns was lily work, thus the work of the columns were completed. I read a little further than they had suggested, but again, just to show that even in the temple, there was artwork representation, not to worship, not to bow down to, but again, that creation itself declares the Creator. And again, here, Solomon was led to call an artisan whom the Spirit was on, just as the Spirit was on the artisans in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And we see in both of them, as we'd read a week or so ago, when they were all finished and the priests dedicated the temple, it said the esteem, the glory, the presence of Yah came down on the temple so much that the priests weren't even able to stand. No one was able to enter. The same with the tabernacle, as the glory of Yah came down upon the tabernacle. So obviously it was acceptable, not abominable. So in our lives as well, if we've not seen his glory come down and rest in power, if we've not seen his presence so thick, perhaps there is still more for us to get in order. Perhaps there's still some cleaning, some dedication, some restoration to be done. I encourage you, do that work quickly. I believe in the days ahead, we are going to need to hear. We're going to need his presence more so than ever, as the kingdom of this world seeks to exalt itself. And as the one ruler of this world begins to set up his one world kingdom, we will need his presence with us. We will need that cloud by day, that fire by night. We will need to be able to hear and to obey. Because Messiah said, if those days weren't cut short, no flesh would survive. But he also said, blessed is he that endures to the end. My prayer for us is that we could hear, we could prepare, we could endure. Because greater is he that lives within us than he that is within the world. Let's look at Hebrews. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the summary of what we are saying is, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness in the heavens, and who serves in the set apart place and of the true tent which Yah set up, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and slaughter, so it was also necessary for this one to have somewhat to offer, for if indeed he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the Torah, who serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly, as Moshe was warned when he was about to make the tent, for he said, see that you make all according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent servant, insomuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is constituted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, see, the days are coming, says Yah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand to lead them out to the land of Mitzrayim, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says Yah. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yah, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. They shall by no means teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yah, because they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, because I shall forgive their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawlessness, I shall no longer remember. You know that most all of that I just read was from the Old Testament. Not the New Testament. It's quoted in the New Testament by Paul. But it was already written in the Old Testament. So how was there a renewed covenant in the Old Testament? And even more importantly, if the Old Testament is done away with, how do we have a covenant mentioned in the Old Testament in effect in the New Testament? Ah, because God made a covenant with himself. And what covenant was that? When he put Abraham to sleep. And he walked among the pieces himself. So then did the covenant at Sinai replace that covenant? Can one covenant replace another covenant? If a covenant is forever, we have a misunderstanding of covenants. Oh, we have a better covenant because it doesn't depend on me. A better covenant because my sin nature has been dealt with where before it's not. Not a better covenant because the old one was worthless. A better covenant because Messiah came and fulfilled the covenant that Yah had made with Abraham when he had a covenant with himself. Yeshua came, Messiah came, and fulfilled that covenant and sealed that covenant with his own blood. He went once and forever into the Holy of Holies, not made with hand. He went as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he placed his blood, which did away with my sin, which covered my sin, which translated me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Something that the Torah could not do. Why? I thought the Torah was Yah's covenant. It was, but it couldn't deal with man's sin. Because I was already born in sin even before I came to the Torah. Even though the Torah taught me of sin, I still failed. I still broke it. I was guilty of one, I was guilty of all of it. And the blood of bull and goats couldn't take away my sin. If it could take away my sin, then Adam and Eve never would have had to been cast out of the garden. Adam and Eve sinned, what did y'all do? Kill an animal. Sacrifice their blood. Covered their sin with what? With the skin. But did it do away with their sin? No, they were cast out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and remain in that state forever. Not cast out because he didn't love them. Cast out for our good, that we would not permanently be in a sin state. And he gave them an example. He gave them a way for our sins to be covered on earth. For the ruler of this world. Until the time of Messiah was fulfilled. Because when was Messiah slain? Before the foundation of the world. He didn't change game plans at halftime. He didn't have to come up with another strategy because the first one wasn't working. We were too far behind. He did not have to throw a Hail Mary and hope it worked. Yah has always been on the throne. And Messiah is even now seated, Scripture says, at his right hand until all his enemies are made his footstool. But instead, Yah made a way where there seemed to be no way. When the enemy thought he had won because he had gotten us to disobey. When he thought that now death and destruction was unleashed, God had already made a way. And in the fullness of time, Messiah came. And in the fullness of time, he will come again. And that time seems to be drawing near. And then when he comes, because of the covenant he has already fulfilled, I'll get the promise of it. That'll even be better than now. Because is this covenant in effect now? Has he written his laws in all of our minds and our heart that no one has to teach his neighbor, but everyone already knows Yah? Do you know everything about Scripture? I don't either. Does every neighbor you know already know Yah? Not on our street. So that the covenant that is coming is even greater. Because one day I will know as I'm known. One day I will see plainly. One day I'll no longer be through a glass darkly. One day I'll be delivered from this body of sin, from this temporal, mortal. One day I'll have a renewed body. We'll have a renewed heaven. We'll have a renewed earth. And Scripture says the earth itself groans waiting for the manifestations of the sons of Yah. One day we won't have to worry about two hurricanes coming up the Gulf. Because order will have been restored. So if we say Torah was done away with, we're going to have to say Messiah was done away with. If we say the Old Testament's done away with, we're going to have to go through the New Testament and take out all of the Old Testament that was quoted. Perhaps they were confused. Didn't know it had been done away with already. Or again, we could see that how Yah has always, line upon line, precept upon precept, started with Messiah, the chief cornerstone, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and has built a dwelling place, a place of safety, that we could come out of her, my people, that we would not follow the ruler of this world, Babylon, the great whore, in the way of her, but that we could walk according to his way and we could choose life. And that though we were not able to do that ourselves, he came and lived and died for us. So that he could deal with my sin nature. So now I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Now I can be a new creation because old things have passed away. All things have become new. I can choose to take up my cross daily and die to self and live to Christ. I can choose righteousness and obedience. Now I can choose. And one day as he returns, and all passes under the rod. All is renewed and dealt with. All is restored. Hallelujah. In that day, I'll know as I'm known. In that day, we'll promise that he will write his laws in my mind and on my hearts. And he will be our Elohim and we shall be his people. We won't have to say to his brother, know Yah, because we will all know him from the least to the greatest. Because he has forgiven our unrighteousness and their sins and their lawlessness, I shall no longer remember. If that's how the kingdom of heaven is, and we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Why don't we start learning his law now before he has to write it in our hearts? Even though right now we have to still say to our neighbor, know God, why don't we still tell him, know Yah? Why don't we even now begin to deal with our sin and our lawlessness? So he has less to not remember. Why don't I today choose to live on earth as we will one day in heaven? Is he not worth it? And to be honest, is that not a better way of life? When we look around today and we see literally, last year we were at the height of prosperity. Our economy was soaring like it had never before. The stock market was at an all-time high. Unemployment was at an all-time low. What a difference a few months can make. Now we have rioting on the streets. We have looting and burning. Some of our cities have burned for 90 days straight. Lawlessness rampant on the street. People, unemployment and economic turmoil, literally unlike the history of our country, greater than even during the Great Depression. Oh, yes, the stock market's back up. A lot of people are back to work. Are we going to trust again in that? Or are we going to lift up our eyes and know from whence our help comes? Are we going to learn and know that the house built on the sand will fall every time the storm comes? Are we going to build our house upon Messiah and the way he lived his life, doing only that which he heard, saw the Father do, doing not his will, but the will of the one who sent him, living sinless, obeying Torah? Are we going to be that light set on the hill? Are we going to lift him up that he may draw all men unto himself? Are we going to do our good deeds before men that they may glorify our Father who art in heaven? Psalm 68. Elohim arises, his enemies are scattered, and those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, you drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, the wrong perish before Elohim. But the righteous are glad, they exalt before Elohim, and they rejoice with gladness. Sing to Elohim, sing praises to his name, raise up a highway for him who rides through the deserts by his name, Yah, and exalt before him. Father of the fatherless and right ruler of widows is Elohim in his set-apart dwelling. Elohim makes a home for the lonely. He brings out into prosperity those who are bound with chains. Only the rebellious shall dwell in a dry land. O Elohim, when you went out before your people, when you stepped through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook and the heavens dropped before Elohim. This Sinai shook before Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. You, O Elohim, sent a shower of plenty. You confirmed your inheritance. When it was weary, your flock dwelt in it. You provided from your goodness for the poor, O Elohim. Yah gave the word. The woman who proclaimed it was a great company, or the women who proclaimed it was a great company. Sovereigns of armies flee in haste, and she who remains at home divides the spoils. If you lie down among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove are covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold, when the Almighty scattered sovereigns in it. It did snow in Salmon. A mountain of Elohim is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of peaks is the mountain of Bashan. O mountain of peaks, why do you gaze in envy at the mountain which Elohim desired to dwell in? Yah even dwells there forever. The chariots of Elohim are 20,000, thousand of thousands. Yah came from Sinai into the set-apart place. You have ascended on high. You left captivity captive. You received gifts among men, and even the rebellious, that Yah Elohim might dwell there. Blessed be Yah. Day by day he bears our burdens, the L of our deliverance, Selah. The L is the L of deliverance. And to Yah, the master, belongs escapes from death. Indeed, Elohim smites the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of him who walks about in his guilt. Yah said, I bring back from Bashan. I bring back from the depths of the sea. So that you plunge your foot in blood, that the tongues of your dogs have their portion from the enemies. They have seen your goings, O Elohim, the goings of my El, my sovereign, into the set-apart place. The singers went in front, the players on instruments after them. Among them were the young women playing tambourines. Bless Elohim in the assemblies. Yah, from the fountain of Israel, there is Benjamin, the smallest, their ruler. The leader of Yehuda, their company. The leader of Zebulun, the leader of Naphtali. Your Elohim has commanded your strength to be strong. O Elohim, this you have worked out for us. Because of your Hakal at Jerusalem, sovereigns bring presents to you. Rebuke the wild beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, each one humbling himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in conflicts. Ambassadors come out of Mitzrayim. Cush stretches out her hand to Elohim. Sing to Elohim, you reigns of the earth. Praises to Yah Selah. To him who rides on the ancient highest heavens, see, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe excellence to Elohim. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O Elohim, awesome from your set-apart places. The El of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be Elohim. The heathens may rage. The nations may rage. But Yah is still in control. We can still sing in confidence, knowing that if we will hear his voice and obey, he has already made a way. Knowing that if we have prepared, if we have clean heart, clean hands, then we will see the deliverance, the salvation of our El. Father, thank you that you have promised. Thank you that you have made a way. Thank you that you gave us your word, that your word is true, yes and amen, that you're not a man that you should lie, that your arm is not short that you cannot accomplish. Thank you that you sent your son, Yeshua HaMashiach, to come, live, die, be raised again, that we might have life and life abundantly, that we might believe, be born again. Thank you that he sent your Ruach HaKodesh to lead us, guide us, correct us, teach us your ways. That as we walk, we may choose life. We may obey. When we err, that you love us and chastise us, that we may return. And that you do nothing but that you show it to your servants. May we truly hear the watchman upon the wall. May we hear the shofar and know the times. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear. May we not harden our heart. But may we proclaim that this is the day of Yahuwah, our Elohim. And that you be blessed. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam. Shabbat shalom.